Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Ramondre Stevenson, as advertised, has been the star of the show so far on offense for these New England Patriots. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today. We'll be joined in about 40 minutes by Adam Schefter of ESPN, who is now short a colleague over there in Bristol, as Woj announcing his retirement out of nowhere today, so he could go be the general manager. I didn't even know college basketball teams had general managers. He's going to go be the general manager for the Bonnies over there, which I guess is where he went to college. So congratulations to him, I guess. We'll discuss that in a little bit, and we'll talk with Schefter right at 3:45. But I wanted to talk about the run game a little bit right now, because as you know, Andy, as we've talked about and pretty much beaten the topic to death at this point, this is a running team. They've announced it over and over again. They've beaten the point to death themselves. And you look at Ramondre Stevenson, and I wonder, is this sustainable? Because running backs, more than it seems like any other position early on in the season here, are dropping like flies. Kenneth Walker out, Raheem Mostert out, Pacheco out, Mixon out, McCaffrey out. Nick Chubb started the year on the pup list. These are the best running backs in the league, and they're all getting banged up. They're all out, and the only big difference is all of those teams, except for Cleveland and Chubb, all those other teams, San Francisco, Houston, Kansas City, Miami, Seattle, they all have very good passing attacks, and you don't. So if and when something happens to Ramondre Stevenson, or he has to miss a game, or he has an off day, or whatever it is, What do these guys do? I mean, it seems like even people like Mike Reese, who we'll get to in a second, are calling this first couple of games here from Stevenson a mirage. How do you succeed with a mirage?
So I don't love the word mirage.
We'll take it up with Reese.
Because that would indicate it's not real. It didn't happen. It is as real as can be.
A mirage that it'll continue to be able to happen at this rate. Unsustainable,
like,
yeah.
The mirage part is, I think he's playing the best football of his career. I think he's breaking tackles, and that's in part. So the raw number feels unsustainable, and then when you add in the fact that all his yards come after contact, it's like exponentially unsustainable, right?
Right.
There's some rushing attacks you see that get schemed up. A lot of times Miami and San Francisco do this, where guys are like 8 yards downfield before they even get touched. Mm-hmm. They can run out of bounds. They can do whatever. This is not that. He's breaking arm tackles at or behind the line of scrimmage. He's having to lower the shoulder. He's in a pile where there's six guys hitting him, and you know, even his own alignment's hitting him to try to drive him forward. It is absolutely unsustainable. So I was looking. He's second in the NFL. There's two guys tied for first. The Jordan Mason kid from San Francisco leads the NFL in attempts. And then Josh Jacobs, that's kind of what he does. He did it with the Raiders. Now he's doing it with the Packers. And then it's Saquon Barkley and Ramondre Stevenson at 46 attempts behind the 48 for the leaders. No, I don't think it is sustainable. And as you said, it's only going to get harder. Teams are going to load the boxes. There's going to be more safeties. There's going to be 8, 9, 10, 11 guys at the line of scrimmage until they prove that they can throw the football even a lick down the field. And he's a guy that's been dinged up. I think he was hurt to start and end last year.
Yes.
So it's not like he's the most durable.
Saw a lot of Zeke last year.
Yeah, he's not the most durable. Oh, this guy never gets hurt. He's made out of rubber, whatever. No, he's been dinged up. So, Long story short, it is absolutely not sustainable.
Yeah, so ESPN's article today was evaluating surprise trends for 32 NFL teams. Are they real or are they mirages? So it wasn't necessarily Reese's choice of words here. This is the way they framed the entire article. For example, Buffalo Bills, early surprise. The Bills' defense has thrived despite having to play a bunch of backups. The verdict, real. It's not the first time they've done that. The Dolphins are feeding Devon Achane early and often. The verdict, real. He'll be able to continue that throughout the year. The Jets. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers off to a slow start. Mirage, he'll get better. For the Patriots, it was running back Ramondre Stevenson has received a heavy workload. Reese writes, mirage. Stevenson has played 100 snaps through his first two games, and his 46 carries are third most in the NFL behind Jacobs and Mason. If the Patriots want Stevenson to last over the course of a 17-game season, they're going to have to find spots to lighten his load and turn more towards Antonio Gibson, who's played 30 total snaps, and Jamichael Hasty, who has played three. Let me put it to you this way. Is this an acceptable running back room for a team that wants to run as much as the Patriots do?
No. I thought all along at some point they would bring in the Kareem Hunt, like he's going to Kansas City.
I feel like you could have done better than Kareem Hunt. But
whatever. I thought there'd be a name, a veteran, a guy who you knew could take NFL carries. Antonio Gibson is... He's run the ball enough in the NFL, so I guess he is a proven veteran.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what he is. He is a change of pace,
right,
pass catcher.
He became that. Early in his career, he had a couple of seasons
want to see that necessarily. I don't really know what Hasty is, if he can do anything on a consistent basis. You have Kevin Harris, I guess, who's not proven anything. He's a bigger
Harris
back.
Harris on the practice squad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's a bigger back and sort of fits that mold.
Had a nice play in the preseason.
Yep. I thought for sure they would add a veteran back somewhere along the way.
Well, it's not like there weren't a ton of them out there, you know, like Jacobs or Barkley or Swift or Pollard.
Well, but I mean, after
Derrick Henry or Austin Eckler. I mean, there was a ton of running backs out there. And that annoyed me when Elliott Wolf was like, oh, it was all running backs and guards. It's like, yeah, well, are you going to be a running team or not? Because if you are, you could have probably upgraded both of those things.
But are you going to have two starting running backs? Because you made it clear, Ramondre Stevenson is your starter. You were giving him the money. I don't know if you were going to win. I mean, after that. The Kareem Hunts or these guys, there's probably guys out there right now that I could find on practice squads or free agency that I would say, oh, I'd give that guy a shot. Like you need some veteran experience, and they chose not to do that. And it's sort of what they've chosen at a few spots.
Yeah.
Right. Like you don't have veteran depth at the tackle position. So the depth was questionable, and you didn't even feed it in behind with sort of names or veterans or guys that might help out.
The Ravens signed J.K. Dobbins for $1.6 million. Okay? Like, they signed him away
Chargers.
From Baltimore.
Chargers
signed him away from the Ravens, is what I meant to say, for $1.6 million. He's averaging, what, 10 yards a carry? Like, he's killing it this year.
Yes.
And again, you'd have to figure out how you're going to divvy all this up. But, oh, no, what a terrible problem to have for a team that's going to run the ball 80% of the time. You know, you should have a couple of guys that you trust. It shouldn't just have to be Ramondre over and over again. And then for, you know, a couple of snaps, you were going to give it to Antonio Gibson, who I thought looked really good in that Seattle
he's
game.
Run
the
well.
Times they went to him,
absolutely.
Fine. But I also am sort of looking at this like, okay, if any one of these guys goes down, you're kind of up against it here.
And so 46 carries over two games. So basically your lead back is averaging 23 carries a game.
Mm-hmm.
Is Antonio Gibson going to give you 23 carries a game?
No.
Maybe not even once. Maybe a one-off, but can he get up and do it again the next week? And then the next week, is he going to be standing at the podium like Ramondre Stevenson was week one saying, I could have gone another quarter. I want it more. And Brissett's raving about how much this guy likes to run. I just don't think that's a realistic possibility. And you're right. This is not second guessing. This is first guessing.
Yeah.
You want to run the football. You want to lean on the running game. We're going to run it until people stop us. If you're going to be that kind of team, you absolutely have to have a reliable backup.
Yeah.
And they don't.
And one other thing that might help you be that kind of team is if your entire offensive line wasn't injured. We have the injury report now for tomorrow night, and it's not looking great. Ruled out, Juwan Bentley. We knew that. Vidarian Lowe, out. Sidy Sow, out. O'Shane Jimenez, out with a knee. No players are doubtful. David Andrews, questionable. Mike Onwenu, questionable. Jabril Peppers, questionable. Dietrich Wise, also questionable. And Jennings, Marcus Jones, and Laydon Robinson have all been removed from the list.
So woo-hoo! Laydon Robinson's
nice.
Healthy, baby!
You can have one guy on the one starter on the offensive line is going to be the rookie, and that's it. I mean, I assume Andrews will play. I think Onwenu probably will play, too.
Yes.
But no low, no city, so it's an entire left side of your line there is wiped out.
I also always worry a little bit about the questionables, just because I believe, by the letter of the law, The NFL tracks these things. And questionable is like 50-50. And by the end of the year, if you make guys questionable, it's supposed to kind of average out to 50-50. They, half of them played, half of them didn't.
I didn't know that.
And that kind of worries me if you have two linemen.
Can you get punished for that?
I don't really think so. I think it's just kind of like, hey, this is supposed to be like this, do this kind of thing. But it kind of worries me if you have your two best linemen are questionable. Is there a chance one of them is like questionable gonna play and the other one is questionable not gonna play and they average each other? I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
And especially with the whole left side, although the left side has been so bad, just run right. Stevenson, as soon as you get the ball, run right. That would be my advice to you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what everyone's doing.
No, nope, just run right.
Just misdirection over to the right. That's,
go to the right.
That's what you're going to end up doing. Caden Wallace, the rookie right tackle.
Yes.
Going to be making his first NFL start at left tackle.
Yes.
And they'll continue doing what they were doing before with City So on the left there.
So who are they going to bring in for the jumbo packages that they've been running a lot of? Because that was Caden Wallace.
Yeah, that's a good question. Now it may have to be, well, Jordan's going to be playing at left tackle, or left guard. Leverett's maybe going to have to come in. And the big giant guy they signed.
I don't know if you want him as like the athletic, because usually that
you don't have anybody else. That's the only other tackle you
maybe
have.
He comes in at tackle and Wallace bumps out and then he needs to report as eligible so you don't get a penalty like you did last week.
Right. Or maybe they could just throw a couple passes to him. He's 6'9". You know?
I mean, I feel like DeMario Douglas might get pissed off if you start throwing offensive linemen before you throw to him.
I know. I mean, I could see that. But
that,
you know,
might really poke the bear a little
Pop
bit.
Pop Douglas, little guy. DeMontre Jacobs.
Yeah, just tell him that.
Humongous guy.
Yeah, if we throw it up to him, he's a big guy.
Big red zone target. That's not you, Pop.
It's all matchups.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got a couple of things to get to. First, we're going to hear from Brian Frizzoco, who's going to tell you what's trending. And then we'll come back, talk about the Aaron Rodgers matchup. Andy Hart, not optimistic about this game tomorrow night. We'll get into all of that next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market. The Boston Red Sox, they lost to the Tampa Bay Rays last night, going down by a score of 8-3. In Florida, the Red Sox are now 5 games back of the final wildcard spot in the AL. The series continues tonight, and we will have the call for you of that game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch tonight is at 6:50 with Tanner Houck on the bump for the Sox and Ryan Pepio on the hill for the Rays. Our coverage begins at 5:50 with the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Cooper Boardman. Off day for the New England Patriots today as they head down to New York for their Thursday night game against the Jets. That game will kick off at 8:15 tomorrow night. Some players already announced out for the Patriots for tomorrow: linebacker Juwan Bentley, tackle Vidarian Lowe, guard City So, and linebacker O'Shane Zmenis. Bruins training camp got underway today, and it seems as if a new deal for Jeremy Swayman has not yet been finalized. Finally, the New England Revolution take the field tonight as they host CF Montreal. That game will begin at 7:30. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Brian Frizzoco, and that's what's trending on WEEI and on WEEI.com.
That was Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show talking about his favorite player, Christian Gonzalez. Do you want to be a favorite player of Aaron Rodgers?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mean, you want to be on his radar?
Sure.
Might as well. And from a football perspective, it's probably not a bad thing.
You think he's like radioactive? He's that crazy? He's third rail? You don't...
No. I mean, I think he's...
It's a Hall of Fame quarterback. If he thinks I'm good, I'll take it.
He's a bit of a doofus, but, you know, he's still a good player.
I mean, lots of people are doofuses. They can still be really good at certain things.
Absolutely. He's a very, very good player, obviously. And people forget. I mean, it was Lamar Jackson last year, Mahomes the year before, and Aaron Rodgers was the back-to-back MVP the 2 years prior to that, the COVID year, ironically, and then the year after that, where very recently he's been the best player in the entire league. Now, that injury last year was obviously a huge setback. He's not gotten off to a great start this year, but Aaron Rodgers, I mean, facing Aaron Rodgers, even at 40 years old, I still look at it as a very daunting thing. And I used to think that with Bill Belichick as the guy setting the defense and, you know, a team and a quarterback that you didn't really see that much over in Green Bay. But, you know, I don't take that lightly. I'm still pretty scared of him.
And he's not coming to this battle alone.
Right.
That would be if anything, I think Breece Hall has been the disappointing part of that offense. Because I think everybody expects him to be a game changer, a game breaker, big play guy. I think he has one, even with a 30-yard run, he's averaging like 3.9 yards per carry. Mm. He just hasn't hit to what he's supposed to be. The other kid, Allen, has actually made plays both on the ground and in the passing game. But I think Aaron Rodgers, you watch him, there's still talent there. He doesn't move like he used to.
That's what ayahuasca did for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You love that. Remember when he went in that dark thing? The dark cave?
Oh, yeah, and he was pooping in a hole in the ground?
Yeah, the whole thing.
I remember that.
But came out of the darkness, something changed.
I bet.
But then come to find out there was kind of lights in there that you could turn on if you wanted to.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I think it was kind of fraudulent.
He had a TV and an Xbox and was just like chilling in there for a few days.
It was a little bit like that.
Bunch of ayahuasca, whatever that's called.
But is he better or worse right now than Geno Smith?
I think he's better than Geno Smith.
Okay, so Geno just threw for 320 on your whatever.
Yes, he did. And Geno has a better offense around him, I think, than
Aaron
Rodgers.
More depth of weapons. Mm-hmm. But the running game, Rodgers should have a better running game than Geno Smith
he
had.
He should, yes. He should.
So,
and he will. I mean, assuming those guys both play, he will.
Coming off what we saw last week, this is a significant challenge for the Patriots defense that's banged up, right? That's a little undermanned. That has to play
big-time undermanned.
One thing to get through that...
Their main signal callers.
Right. Yeah. You get through that first half of football without him, but now to go into a full game, the other team knows that guy's not going to be out there. He's a leader. He's a signal caller. He's the whole thing, and they'll be fine in signal calling. I think that's a little overrated. You have veteran players that I think you can trust with that. It's not like all of a sudden some undrafted rookie who's never played an NFL game is calling the defenses.
Right.
It's freaking Kyle Duggar. He's been in the league. You're paying him probably more than you should. He's been in the league for, 5 years now. So I think that will be fine. The issue here is you're down a man at a position where you're not exactly dominant. So Tavai and Bentley, they've been good. Probably better than most people expected when you said that a couple years ago. But now all of a sudden, is Raekwon McMillan going to be a net positive, net negative, a drop-off? How far? I just think it's like the offensive line. You started with questionable talent and questionable depth, and that is already being attacked. And it's only week 2.5. You're barely through the second week of the season, and that was attacked. So, yes, I don't feel great about this matchup.
Yeah, you think they might get their ass handed to them on
tomorrow 31-13.
Night. Ooh. That was what I thought. That's how I thought they'd lose to the Bengals.
No.
That was the exact score I had for that Bengals game.
I think this is a tough spot. And in recording the Six Rings preview with Fitzy earlier, I used the word, and maybe it's strong, maybe it's not. I think this is a pivotal game for Gerard Mayo and his culture setting, because
I agree with that.
This is a
you
got to
establish
week.
That early on in the season, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And your tenure, and you got one guy who up and quit.
You got another guy who you had to run off, and you got another guy who, if he weren't quite as talented, probably would be in more trouble than he is in Pop Douglas popping off. You got three guys in week two questioning what the hell is going on with the operation and the culture and the decisions and all of those things. And it's a short week. Now you're banged up. You just gave away a game at home. Like, I think you kind of choked away a game. So now all of a sudden, 2-0 turn into 1-1. You could be staring down 1-2. You're going to your rival, which is going to be an environment, right? I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers' first game since he got hurt there.
Yeah.
They've been on the road for 2 weeks. They're coming back to Jet Life Stadium, as Fitzy loves to
say.
Think
he runs out with the flag again?
No.
No?
I don't. I think that was 9/11. So I think that was
Oh, is that why he did that? I didn't realize,
I didn't realize 9/11.
That was the reason. I thought it was just go America.
No.
I'm in New York. Well,
are you saying he doesn't like America?
I don't know. Who said he doesn't like America?
I'm just asking you. You saying he doesn't like America? That
he
that
ran
fraudulent?
Out with an American flag.
I'm just asking you where you stand on the topic.
I don't
is Aaron Rodgers a good American, a good proud American?
Don't have an opinion on that, honestly.
617-779.
617.
Who knew? You thought he was a communist or
That's
something.
That's exactly what I said, yes. Aaron Rodgers, big time pinko. So you heard it here first on WEEI Afternoon.
Yeah, I think there's a chance they could get blown out in this game. I think there's a chance it could go. Because Aaron Rodgers, the one thing we know he still doesn't do is turn the ball over. He's not going to throw you the football.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't fumble it, I don't rule that out. You can hit guys in the back end after a catch, whatever. You can still force turnovers. But if they don't make mistakes, okay, now you're kind of swimming upstream. And you might still make mistakes because I still don't know where that Ramondre Stevenson fumble went. And if you get another one of those, there right. might actually be enough cameras. I don't know how big a camera crew Amazon Prime has. They had cameras enough to take video of us. So
they did.
Plenty of cameras.
I've told a lot of people about this, so I'm going to look like a real a-hole if we're not in it.
You know,
I told everybody, watch this intro. You're going to see me. You're going to see Andy. We're going to be slinging takes I don't know, however long. They taped us for like 90 seconds.
Wasn't this a Friends episode where he brought his grandmother over to watch him, Joey? He was in some like murder or something.
Yeah, and they cut him out.
Yep. And she was crushed or whatever, and he didn't want to let her know.
I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen here.
can I tell you?
Arcan's going to have a watch party, all of his friends and family, and they're just waiting for him.
Yeah,
so
all my
selfishly,
friends.
You know what would be funny?
What?
If you had your little watch party and you told everybody and they only showed me and they never showed you.
Yeah, that'd be tough. That would be a tough blow. There was a point where the guy was like over my shoulder filming
on
you.
On me. He went with the more handsome guy.
Well, he did the other part too. It was they did both angles. So I don't know.
I don't know which way
they're going to go. In the very beginning, the first part of it,
just kidding.
They were over your shoulder and they went over my shoulder. And yeah, you're right. If that happens, I'll be devastated.
I feel like even if we make it, this could be a very like quick edit. Boom, boom. You barely hear, see. Then like some graphic or picture flashes over. And
it'd be funny if they showed like us, but it's like different voices.
Imagine
they
that.
Show us, but it's like.
Or what if it's our voices?
Like Jones and Keith.
What if it's different people? They're like, those two were ugly.
Yeah.
Their voices were fine. The takes were fine. So we just dubbed it over Handsome Man.
Right. Like, like they're doing with the Aaron Hernandez show. They bring in some actors.
Milli Vanilli.
Yeah. They bring in a couple of actors who don't look like us.
I bet you two don't even know who Milli Vanilli is.
No idea.
Milli Vanilli was a pop duo in the 90s who got
Grammy Award winning
lip syncing. They lip sync.
They didn't sing.
And they won for Blame It on the Rain, I think, was their big
hit. They were popular. They were huge. They were these two good looking, dreaded black men. And
yes.
Come to find out, it was just like studio singers the whole time. And
one of them,
the frontmen.
One of them recently passed away. I don't know if it was Milli or Vanilli, but one of them passed away recently. So rest in power to either Milli or Vanilli. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We opened the show talking about the whole Jeremy Swayman situation, and Paul is in Rhode Island. He's been waiting patiently to comment on that. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go with thank you very much about signing an American goalie. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you right now, we have to go with this kid because he popped us through the first round. We have to go with that. He's a main product. So is the coach. And we have to go with that. The other topic I want to talk about is I want to trade Casas for King in San Diego, the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And where is that 370-pound man from the practice squad from Green Bay?
You talking about DeMontre Jacob, the tackle? The guy who's 6'9",
right.
He's available.
Yeah, we were just talking about having him be the swing tackle, right? Or
you never know.
He'll be the guy in the jumbo formation or something along those lines.
That might have been Paul's best call ever.
It was a pretty good call.
It was pretty coherent.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't sure where it was going.
Three different sports, three different topics. But
he nailed them. Usually he can't nail one.
No, I know. I introduced
the Rhode Island
you.
Rooster.
He didn't meander too much.
No.
I was, you know what, honestly, that was one of his better calls of all time, I'd say.
And he stayed, I mean, I don't know what American goalies versus European, what does that really matter? Are they good?
I don't think it matters very much.
Does that tie into our...
Bobrovsky just won the cup, right. So I mean...
Like, maybe that ties into our Aaron Rodgers discussion. Swayman's a good American. Mm-hmm. You want a good American goalie between the pipes.
Yeah.
We had a texter that said Aaron Rodgers is an American hero.
An American hero?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. See that doubt in his voice? He doesn't think Rodgers is a good American.
I think he's very overrated, personally. I think he's won a bunch of MVPs.
As a player or American?
As both. As both an overrated player and an American. Yes, he's an overrated American. I think, he's only ever won one Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like
real Americans win multiple Super Bowls.
Exactly. American heroes win more than one. You know, like Ben Roethlisberger, American hero.
That's your hero?
There's my hero right there.
So Brett Favre, American hero.
Yes, 100%.
Because he won two, right? Or did he?
No, Favre only won one.
Did he only, beat the Patriots?
Favre only had the one.
Favre only had one. He only went to one
Super
Bowl.
Green Bay Packers, they just pile up the MVPs and they can't win Super Bowls.
I'll say this. Brett Favre fancies himself an American hero. And I'd say out of all the people who defrauded their state government and the welfare system in order to pay for a volleyball facility or whatever it was, University of Mississippi, he's probably the biggest American hero out of all the people who have done that. So,
How big's that pool?
Good for him. I'd say it's just probably just him in there. But,
one of one.
He's one of one. He's the only one. I mean, listen, Hellebuck. Is Hellebuck American? He went to UMass Lowell. I think he's American. I'm not sure, though. But you got, yeah.
What does it matter?
It matters to the caller. Caller's anti-non-American goalies.
Now, is it stylistic?
Probably.
Hellebuck's from Michigan, so he's American.
He's from Michigan, so there you go. All right.
Now we're judging guys based on names. I feel like we're going down a road we shouldn't.
Vasilevsky's Russian, so he's technically Asian, right? Isn't that where Russia is?
Well, Russia is in Asia.
Yeah, so he's Asian.
But I don't know if you're Russian, you're Asian.
Well, you're not European.
I don't know if we should keep going on this.
It's the continent that the country's in. I don't think it's that controversial. Anyway, 617-779-7937. You're not optimistic about this Patriots game.
Yeah, let's get back to the game.
Tying it back to Aaron Rodgers here. We got thrown off by Paul in Rhode Island. Do you think situational football is a problem for this team? Because Bill Belichick was kind of ripping him for it. He finally, for the first time ever, mentioned the Patriots, and he talked about situational problems. This was on his underdog show, I want to say, with Matt Patricia, and he talked about the poor clock management at the end of the first half. Do we have this? 1 second, okay. We'll get to it in just a second. Oh, here we go. Here it is.
It's a good chance for a halftime swing. I think we saw several games this weekend where, you know, that was really a factor. Certainly the New England Seattle game where, Seattle scored right before the half, ultimately took it into overtime. Like that was a big 3 points they picked up there. With some, let's say questionable clock management. But you know, this is a good opportunity for Atlanta to come back and take the lead in the third quarter.
All right, it was Manning Cast. That was not his underdog show. That was Manning Cast that he said all that on. Situational football was obviously something he cared a lot about, and he drilled it into his players all the time. Towards the end of his tenure, it didn't seem to be quite as fine-tuned as it was earlier on. Is this going to be a problem for the Gerard Mayo Patriots?
We'll find out. I thought they played the game on their terms in week one. I thought they were pretty clean, and then I thought in week two it fell apart. The clock management at the end of the first half is just part of it. I consider the whole spin around the blocked field goal to be situational football there. And then I would say situational football includes, okay, fourth and one, we're not going to go for it. We're going to pin them down to their 16-yard line and play field position. Oh, wait, they're kicking the game. The game's over.
Right.
We're done. So it was not good in this game. Now, I do think it's interesting that Bill chose to bring it up. I didn't hear a peep from him in week one when they won the game and they played Belichickian football
right.
And all that. Now when his guy, his mentee, is making mistakes and they're not doing things exactly right, he tends to bring it up. Interesting. We're going to keep a scoreboard of this.
We absolutely should keep a scoreboard of this. I will say, I thought he could even go a little further. You know, like there was other things you could have criticized about that game from a coaching perspective at the end of the half. And certainly at the end of the game there with the clock management, that was a big one. And something that Bill, I thought, was always pretty good at when it came to clock management and the end of those games. It seemed like the Patriots were usually the ones – that looked smarter than their opponents.
Yes.
Generally, I'd say that was the case.
Now, I don't know if it was just Bill or if Ernie Adams has a say in that. That's why some people started to wonder, oh, wait, Ernie retired and your situational football got worse? Is there a direct connect there? And I don't know if there is or isn't. I'm posing that as a possibility. Ernie definitely had value in the booth and in Bill's ear. And I think over the years, some of the success in those areas absolutely tied back to Ernie, because I think that's how Ernie thinks and made his living and all of that stuff.
Who's the Ernie now? That Rothstein guy? Is he still on the staff?
Rothstein.
Evan Rothstein's still there. Now, he came over with Patricia from Detroit. And he was like Patricia's guy.
Yes.
And then Patricia got shown the door and they kept Rothstein.
Yes.
Why are you talking like Darth Vader?
I mean, Patricia doesn't have a great track record on his own, even though Bill may want to give him credit for the success Detroit is now having, the way other
he built the best offensive line in the league.
Yeah, really, it was all him.
Yeah,
Do we have that one? Let's. This was very interesting. And I think Bill's getting better at this, but stuff like this Patricia crap makes me really question a lot of stuff about his value here as a contributor. Listen to this.
You know, I think that the Lions have built a really good offensive line for their quarterback. And, they couldn't get, a lot of production in the red area last week. But, that's something that, Matt Patricia started. And now they're kind of, getting the fruits of the labor from him. But things like that, you look at how other teams are being managed around the league. And, yeah, I certainly see some, Nick Caserio has done a great job in Houston and, has gotten the quarterback they need. But it's got also a good team around him. Yeah, it's definitely been interesting to watch these teams operate.
Yeah, very interesting. This is a guy who is very insecure about his coaching tree, I think.
It's
that is
so
100%
weird.
What's going on here. This is a guy who does not like the stigma, and it's not really a stigma, it's just a fact, that every single one of his disciples have gone off and failed miserably pretty much everywhere they've gone, with like a couple of exceptions. There's really not that many. O'Brien, I'd say, is one exception, and even he wasn't, any great shakes when he went off on his own. And the rest of them, were just, Patricia was a disaster, McDaniels was a disaster. You've got all sorts of examples of guys just not being able to do it. Mangini was a disaster. Like, there's a lot. Judge. I mean, not just they didn't coach well. They full-on mutinies happened in those locker rooms.
Which I've always, you say he's insecure, and now he's kind of fluffing up Matt. I've always thought the other. Is it a problem if everybody thinks I was the only genius in that room? Like, it makes Bill look better to me. That he wasn't being carried by his assistants. It's not like you can go back and say, oh, those guys all went on to build their own team. So how smart was Bill? Maybe he was just riding all those assistants, stepping on there. No.
It's a fair point.
I've always wondered about that. The other thing is, thank you, Bill. I will say he's paying it forward, because this is what people did with him in Cleveland and Baltimore.
Right.
Remember that whole documentary, basically like Belichick built the Ravens and he's the reason they had Ray Lewis and he's the reason they won Super Bowls. And I was like, well, then why wasn't he there?
There's more to that, I'd say, than there is to Patricia building the present-day Lions.
It happens everywhere.
That's two regimes ago in Detroit. I mean, come on.
Bill won in New England with Parcells' guys.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We went through it this year with Bloom guys. Nope, that's not really a Bloom guy. That's really a Dombrowski guy. And, like, this whole thing, like, yes, you look back, and not everybody makes every decision poorly, right? Like,
true.
Almost every coach or GM has some hits that lay the foundation for some future successes.
Yeah, generally that's the case. 617.
The Matt Patricia thing. Him, like, did you see the clips of him at the Eagles game the other night? Bill and Matt Patricia.
Yes.
And Bill's in the suit, and Matt Patricia's just like,
just hanging around.
It's like he's his handler.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can you get me a soda and maybe some green M&Ms?
He's like holding an umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to go because we got to talk to Schefter.
That would not surprise me.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Adam Schefter, ESPN, joins us next. Joining us right now on the hotline is our good friend from ESPN, Adam Schefter. Adam, before we get into the NFL questions that we have for you, the biggest Woj bomb of all time dropped today, and that is that he is retiring from journalism, going to be the GM there for the Bonnies basketball team. You were all over the story. I just saw you on TV a few minutes ago talking about it as well. Was this as much of a surprise to you as it was to everybody else?
Well, he and I have been talking about this for weeks, if not months. And I kind of knew that this was where it was going. And when I tried to talk about it a few different times, I could hear his voice and his thoughts. And it became very apparent to me very early on that he wasn't going to change his mind. This wasn't somebody who was waffling or wavering. This was somebody who knew exactly what he wanted to do, and he had had enough. He basically didn't want to have to wait by the phone. He didn't want to have to give up weekends. He didn't have to give up holidays, more time away from his family, getting calls in the middle of the night, doing all the things that this job requires. And he wanted his life back. Didn't care about anything else. And that was what was important to him. And so he made the announcement today. And he'll now go on to something that I think he expects to be a lot more gratifying and fulfilling, and helping young athletes at St. Bonaventure and building up that basketball program. And he is going to put his energy and time into that. And, you know, I wouldn't want to compete against Woj, because he's a tiger, and he's going to attack everything, and he's going to be great at everything he does. But yeah, this was something that he had come to a while back, and there was not anything that was going to change his mind.
Adam, I think the biggest NFL story of the week is the Bryce Young benching in Carolina that, I guess, could serve as a cautionary tale for those who want to see Drake May sooner rather than later. Were you surprised at how quickly that happened? And is there a chance that they could actually trade Bryce Young? I've seen a lot of speculation about that on social media.
Look, I think we all would agree that his future in Carolina is all but over. So there is no future there. I don't know if the team is looking to deal him right now. It would take a team offering a lot. And is there a team out there that's going to be willing to give up a lot? I don't know about that either. So at some point, I would expect he'll be moving on from Carolina. I would think it's more likely after the season than in season, but let's see how this plays out. It just kind of happened, and we'll see what happens from there. But he went 18 games. So you're talking about something here where this was the quickest hook that any team has ever had for a number one overall pick at quarterback. There's never been a quarterback drafted number one who's been benched quicker. And obviously, Carolina felt like it had seen enough. It was ready to move on, and that's exactly what it did.
Do you believe that if Bryce Young was drafted by another team, maybe, like if it was Stroud and him got sort of flip-flopped in that draft, that this may have turned out differently for him, or was this sort of going to be his destiny regardless, do you think?
You know, it's a great question, and it points out something that's interesting, right? It's a situation where the Houston Texans, if we're being honest, preferred to take Bryce Young. They tried to trade up to number one to get Bryce Young, and they were denied. The Panthers were the team that was able to get the trade done to move up to Chicago spot at number one. Houston got beat out in the trade. Houston won that last game of the season in Indy with Lovie Smith as its coach that cost the Texans the number one pick, which may have been the single greatest thing that ever happened to that franchise. Because if the Texans had the number one pick, I don't care what anybody tells me, I firmly believe they would have taken Bryce Young at number one. So we can venture into that world of what that would have been like if Bryce Young goes one and C.J. Stroud goes two, what that would have looked like, how that would have turned out. We'll never know. We could just guess. It's fun to think about. But Bryce Young was really the universal number one pick. And he went to a spot where the talent wasn't what it should have been, where there was instability in the coaching staff, where there wasn't a lot of patience, where he didn't demonstrate a lot of growth, and where it basically all blew up. It all blew up.
Bryce Young isn't the only quarterback struggling early in the year. Across the board, a lot of numbers are down in the passing game, passing touchdowns. What do you make of that? Is that aberrational? I know it's the last couple of years, so it seems like it might be a trend. Is that something that people in the league are talking about?
You know, my take on that is this, that more and more teams are shying away from playing their regulars in the preseason. The preseason has been reduced from four games to three, and even with that being the case, more and more teams are not playing their regulars. How many of these teams did not trot out their starting quarterback or starting offenses during the preseason? Like Jaden Daniels in Washington plays the first couple of series in the first preseason game and doesn't play again. Michael Penix, same kind of thing, like doesn't even get out there. We can look at all the offenses that you think are high powered that have started slow, and the same is true for them. So I think there's a few reasons. I think that Number one, we had three rookie quarterbacks start this year. And by the way, even those teams didn't play those guys that much in the preseason. We've had 24 of the 32 quarterbacks all under the age of 30, which is the highest number of young quarterbacks ever in the NFL on an opening day. You've got more young quarterbacks. You've got teams giving them less work. You've got teams treating the preseason as it was something that didn't matter. You know, I remember when I used to be a Denver Broncos beat reporter, and there were four preseason games. And in the first preseason game, John Elway would play a series or two. In the second one, he'd play a full half. In the third one, he'd play into the third quarter. And then in the fourth one, he wouldn't play. But by the time the regular season rolled around, he had played essentially at least three quarters or so to get the rust off. And now it's almost like the first week of the season becomes a little bit like the preseason because nobody's played in the preseason.
All right, Adam, before we let you go here, if you could today retire from media and get any job in sports that you wanted, in a front office, as a manager, as whatever, what job would that be?
That's a great question. That is a great question.
Thank you.
And you know what? If Woj had waited till the end of my contract, I would have had some interest in taking over for him in 3 years. That would have interested me.
Really?
But I don't know that he has 3. Yeah, that would have interested me.
Well, you were doing some basketball stuff. Yeah. I remember you were breaking some basketball stories in the last couple years, right?
Yeah, and I won't be surprised if I dip my toe in that a little bit, like just to have some fun. You know, just to have try to get a Woj bomb or two in his honor, in honor of my great friend Adrian Wojnarowski. So, but what would be the dream job?
Yeah.
Wow, I'd have to really think about that. Like, this really is a dream job for Woj, working as the head of operations, the GM for the St. Bonaventure basketball program. Like that, that's something that he can't wait to do. I don't know what job that would be that I would can't, you know.
It's all right. I put you on the spot. Well, how about you think about it? You can tell us next week. How about that?
Maybe host my own show on WEEI.
Oh, wow. Hey, careful.
Hey, you stay away.
Careful. They'll give it to you.
We just got here.
Jeez. Adam Schefter, future host of this very show, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Schefter, thanks so much.
Have a great day, guys. We'll talk next Wednesday.
Very good. That's Adam Schefter joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Gunning for our job. I should have known it would be something like that.
I felt good when Cora noted that they may kind of have named the show.
Right.
Ripped right out from underneath us. Now Schefter's going for it.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Hope he's
right. That is a great question.
That's 2 weeks in a row
we've gotten some great
energy
questions,
out of him, gotten him like fired up a little bit, not just, let's talk Bryce Young. No offense. He had good answers on that.
Good answers, saying, Young. Yeah.
Like the Kraft Hall of Fame thing last week, obviously he went ballistic. And then this was a question that he was not expecting.
He was so into basketball?
Oh, yeah. Remember, he was doing sidelines.
He was breaking news and doing
sidelines.
He was
doing podcasts.
Stuff, yeah.
He is into basketball. And I think some of it is the challenge. Like, he's probably pretty much peaked in the NFL world. Like, he's Adam Schefter. He's the best.
Yeah.
Like, he knows that. Like, he gets what he needs to get. He doesn't get beat on much, if anything. So the challenge of it, and it's also a little bit of that, athletes want to be rock stars, and rock stars want to be
right,
athletes,
yeah.
And everybody wants to be the other thing.
Everybody wants to be the afternoon drive host on WEEI.
That's right.
It seems like, but yeah.
Host one. You think he wants to be host one or host two?
That's a good question.
Probably host two.
Strikes me more as a host two, honestly.
Son of a bitch.
I mean, yeah, let's be honest here. You know, it's tough.
I'm out.
It's tough driving this bus.
It was a good run while I had it. three and a half weeks or whatever the hell it's been.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we will circle back to the Jeremy Swayman story, which has not only dominated the NHL today, but also dominated this very radio station. Your one spot to get all of the Jeremy Swayman news, right or wrong, whichever way the scoops end up going, you get it right here at WEEI. We'll react to more of that next.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.